this is Armand DeMille with you with the Positive Mind. WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey, today's, as promised, we're going to be talking about, Father's Day is coming up. Father's Day is kind of a silly holiday. Silly holiday because nobody really cares that much. You know, Father's Day, it's not like Mother's Day. Mother's Day, you're supposed to really do lavish things for your father. You buy him a tie. What do? You know, Father's Day, you recognize it. Hey, Dad, it's happy Father's Day. That's as far as it goes. It's not really a big celebration. But the issue of fathers comes up. If you have a lot of feelings about your dad, and a lot of feelings, it's a strange thing. People with unresolved feelings about their fathers have so many difficulties in life that don't look as if they're directly related to these unresolved feelings, but they are. So, for example, if you have unresolved feelings about if you can't get by in work, if you have difficulty working with coworkers, if you have difficulty working with authorities, very often those feelings are related to your very direct feelings towards your father. Not believing that you belong to anything or feeling alone in the world related to being your relationship to your dad. You know, if you had a really close relationship to your father, and I mean a really close one, you tend not to feel so isolated in the world. You tend to feel like, you know, you belong to something. But if you don't, sometimes it's even hard to get a sense of what a family is. So take a look at men and women who have difficulties with their fathers, and then they try to consider fathering or even mothering, you know, being a mother and having a husband and what's the role of your husband. All very difficult stuff. Very difficult. I mean, one would imagine that they built us such that it should be easy for us to just father, you know? What is fathering? To most of nature, it means dropping your seed and moving on. And then keeping the females around, you know, for more seed dropping. But it's not doing very much nurturing to the babies. That's mom's job. Nope. Modern fathering is different. So let's look today at not why we should honor fathers or why we should be scathingly angry at them. Let's try to understand fathering just a little deeper. And I guarantee almost all of you will benefit from this program. Let's see. Here's one way to start. Here's a good way to start. Imagine the many reasons that a person could be angry at their dad. We're going to start this way. Now, I want you to just make up reasons in your own mind. In your own mind. Take a piece of paper and write down 5 reasons I'm angry at my father. And just make up. Go ahead. Take a minute. 5 reasons. Now, I'm going to give you some reasons, and by the time I tell you what I perceived from or got from other people who work with me, you're going to say, oh, yeah, that too. Now, angry doesn't mean that you hate him. You may. Angry doesn't mean that you dishonor him, although you may. But just angry is a feeling. So a woman came to me earlier today and she said, I've got all these reasons I'm angry with my father, and I can't imagine sending him a Father's Day card. I can't imagine. And I said, well, what would you like to say? And she gave me a litany of her anger towards him over the years, of all the things he did to abuse her intellectually, psychologically, not physically, but all the reasons. And she said, I want to send him this letter. She said, but I don't want to dump this torpedo on him. And I said, wait a minute. So the reason that you don't want to tell your father you're angry is because you're afraid it would blow him up, it would kill him? And she said, yes, yes, I don't want to dump it on him. Now, so in everybody who's angry at their father, there's a child on the inside who says, I'm mad at my daddy. And then for everybody else, for everybody who's angry at their daddy, they have an adult inside them who says, ah, but he did the best he could. Oh, you shouldn't get angry at him. Oh, you shouldn't dump it on him. So there you are with two sides, one side telling you to get angry and the other side telling you not to get angry. And you know what happens when you have two sides inside you arguing about this issue? You become dysfunctional. You become depressed, or you wind up not being able to fit into society in an adult way. Being angry at dad. Let's look at some of the reasons, okay? I'm sure you have your five. How about absenteeism? There's a simple one. Dad wasn't home. He wasn't there. Mom brought me up. How about you say to yourself, my father, well, whenever I looked for him, he was like working or watching television. And he wasn't available for very much. He was just like this thing. Well, you know, you would say, well, boy, that's terrible fathering. But I imagine that's how a gorilla baby feels, huh? Baby gorilla, where's the alpha male? Oh, he's over there somewhere, you know. He's not around to play with me. And most of nature, you know, lions and lionesses, penguins and penguinesses, you know, they, where's daddy? Well, you know, he's somewhere around, but he's not directly involved. But, you know, to humans, it's different. Because to humans, learning about adulthood requires the involvement of both parents. And when the involvement of both parents is absent, something happens in a person's ability to cope with the world. That doesn't mean that if you bring up a child alone, if you're a woman bringing up a child alone, you can't adopt both mother and father inside you. You can, but it just doesn't work as well, I think. Okay, so reasons to be angry at your dad. Today, this is what we're going to do. It's a Father's Day card. Reasons I'm mad at you. Ooh. Okay, so absenteeism. Right? He doesn't want to get involved. Dad just, you know, dad, oh my God, I had kids. What does it mean? Having kids, I don't know. I'm going to go. I'm working late tonight. You know, dad's always working. Dad's always busy. Dad's always, can't you see I'm busy? Can't you see I'm on the phone? Okay, so that's one reason to be mad at him. Now, on a more active, that's the absentee dad. That's the absent dad. That's one kind of dad you get mad at. The other one, by the way, guess what kind of men women are attracted to when they have fathers like that? The unavailable man. When you have a father who tended to be not present, you tend to be attracted to the man who's not available. You could ask yourself, why am I attracted to men who aren't available? Oh, my father wasn't available. You think there's a connection between the two? There is a connection, my friends. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind, examining you and your relationship to your dad. Dads aren't bad, because if they are, keep in mind, you're going to be one, or your son's going to be one. We just got to try to figure it out. And I think the role of men in society is one of the most confusing roles there is. I spend a lot of time working with men, and men who are confused about who they are. They're just saying, what's a man supposed to do? All right, more. Another reason to be angry at your dad is when you got a critical dad. Critical dads, they're brutal. They are brutal. They are doing to you what was done to them when they were little, and they're just critical. One wonders why they're so critical. Why are you beating up this kid so much? Why are you telling this kid that this kid is no good and this kid is wrong and the kid's not good enough? Why are you doing that to that poor, fragile little mind? Why are you beating up the little one? You know, some theories, we go back to the gorillas who teach us a lot. The alpha male, meaning the male who's the top of the pack, group, gang, what do you call a bunch of gorillas? I don't know. I got to find that one out. So if you have a group of gorillas and you have the alpha male, the alpha silverback male, right? And he's got all his females around and he's got all these little monkey gorillas around. Every time the little gorilla, the little boy or girl comes up to him, the little boy comes up to him, he kind of smacks it around. Almost as if to say, remember who's the big guy here. Remember who's the big guy here. Some dads are so critical of their kids because they're afraid that someday they're going to, their own inadequacy is going to be seen. So they keep themselves powerful by crushing the will of children. I know that sounds terrible, doesn't it? It's almost instinctive. It's like some guys are gorillas. So being critical of a child is kind of a brutal thing. We know that. We know you should not do it. We call it verbal abuse. We say when a man does that to his daughter or his son, he's hurting them terribly. And everybody knows it. And a man, I was watching a man on television the other day. He was training his daughter to be a gymnast. And he was training her to be an expert gymnast. And he's talking to the TV cameraman, and he says, the interviewer says, I shouldn't be this harsh on her, but I know I shouldn't be this harsh on her. And then she misses a step, and he says, how stupid you are. How could you do that? You practiced that 40 times. Then he turns back to the camera, and he says, I know I shouldn't be this critical. So there's two consciences there, two minds. The mind, I'm doing it, but I know I shouldn't be doing it, but I do it anyway. It's almost like it's my psychological imprint. My father did it to me, so I'll do it to you. I remember I had a cat who was spayed. Spayed. He was like, you know, he couldn't have sex. And there was a female cat who was altered, or whatever they call that, spayed, too. And at one point, the male cat jumps on top of the female cat, and he's imitating sex. But he has no idea why he's doing it, because he has no organs to do this, no things to do it. And he's kind of looking around the room in this curious way while he's moving his little body in this way. And the female underneath him is kind of receiving it, not knowing what's going on either, but just knowing something's going on that's natural, but we don't know what it is. Well, I think that's Yo-Yo, the cat. I think a lot of people are like that. They do things, and they don't know why they're doing it. It's just kind of instinctual. All right, I hope Yo-Yo's not listening. Other things, reasons to be angry at your dad. He favored other people. He favored your older brother. Oh, it's kind of brutal, right? You're an older brother. Of course, nobody's born an older brother. You know that? You can't be. You're born an only child. But then another kid comes along. Now you're the only brother. You're the older brother. Now, dad sees you as, you're my enforcer. You have to live. And the older brother, seeing a little brother, comes along and says, I'm going to be just like dad. And I'm going to be the enforcer. And he becomes just like dad. And dad and he seem to be a team. And the younger brother, you know what happens to the younger brother? He goes running after mommy. And mommy says, oh, he's my little boy. You got to protect him. And so now the younger brother has to deal with his father, and his father substitute his older brother. Everybody gets very confused. Sometimes when dad favors someone over you, and that happens in every large family, because no matter what you say, mommy has a favorite and daddy has a favorite in every family. And when you're not one of those favorites, it hurts. So that's a reason to get angry, you know. Dear Father, happy Father's Day, you miserable old coot. Why didn't you love me as much as you love Tony? Mary. Another reason to be angry at dads. Isn't this a fun show today? Right? Because, you know, the opposite of this exists. I mean, the opposite of why to be angry at dad is why to love a dad. Like, for example, we talked about absenteeism. Sometimes you could love a dad because he's not absent, because he was there. Sometimes it's not that he favored others, but he favored you. you know, you don't care so much about the fact that your brothers and sisters were getting angry. That's their Father's Day card. But he favored you. Invasive. Fathers who are invasive. Boy, there are times you don't want your father in your business. You know, he goes through your room, he checks your room. This is more like a mother thing to do. But fathers are sometimes invasive, especially with young girls. Young girls want boundaries with their fathers, and they don't want dad to be crossing those boundaries. I don't mean only sexual boundaries with them physically. But there are things they don't want to talk about. There are things they don't want to have daddy involved in. And sometimes daddy crosses the boundaries. It's a good reason to be angry with him, to feel like you're not safe anywhere. Other things that happen, and so then there are, of course, boundaries that are crossed sexually. Boy, that is another reason to be angry, because sometimes dad takes out his frustration and he makes sexual moves with his children, boys and girls. There's another reason to be angry. Triangulation. Now, triangulation is another phenomenal cause of why children are angry at their dads and make Father's Day such a difficult day, because you have such mixed feelings. Of course, you know, you look at the Hallmark cards, they're almost impossible. The Mother's Day cards, they're easy. My mom, you were always there. I love the way you cook. I love the way you took care of me. Those are easy. They're filled with words. The Father's Day cards, they're like empty. There's almost nothing you could say that's really true, because there is almost everything is qualified. Father's Day, triangulation. What is triangulation? Triangulation is when your dad, mom, and you set up a little triangle, and they encourage you to favor one or the other of them and play each other against them. You know, so in other words, you and dad against mom. If you're a young woman, sometimes dad does this. You become his little girlfriend. And he talks to you about mom and what's wrong with mom. Mom talks to you about what's wrong with dad. The two of them talk to each other about what's wrong with you. You know, and you talk to yourself in your room going crazy from triangulation. Sometimes you get angry at your father when he divorces your mom, you know, I mean, just leaving. Sometimes, even if mom motivated the divorce, if mom said, she said, I want a divorce from you because she had another honey, doesn't matter. If your dad leaves the house, you get mad at him because, dad, you're leaving me, you know. I know mom kicked you out, but you're leaving me. Why didn't you take me with you, number one? Why didn't you fight to take me with you, number two? And you're leaving me. Why aren't you here? And why couldn't you do everything right so that you could stay here and be my father? And then after dad leaves, he may choose another wife. Or he may have another family. Whew, another reason to be angry. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Armand DeMille with you. And I say to you, I understand all of these things. And I'm saying to you, it's impossible to be a dad who doesn't have people angry at him. You know, even if you're the sweetest man in the world, your kids are going to be angry at you. You know why they're going to be angry at you? Because you're the sweetest man in the world. Because sometimes they want you to stand up for yourself. Sometimes they want you to just stand up and say no. You know, there are people who manipulate their fathers all over the place to get their fathers to do things that mom won't allow them to do. Right? Because you kind of, you cajole dad. But sometimes you want to have a father you can't cajole. That's why some women love strong, aggressive men. Because he's not going to be manipulated. You know, I mean, there are some women who would, on their own, they feel like they would just push the man around like dad was pushed around. And they're very attracted to men who stand on their own. You know, because they say, at least I'm safe from my own behaviors. Armand DeMille would do it to bother the mind. Now look, clearly it's easy to be angry at a dad who is an alcoholic, drug addict, even one who smokes cigarettes. You know, nowadays dad smokes cigarettes at home. In the 40s there was no way to be angry at dad. In the 50s when I was growing up, you know, the smoke screen was over the house. It was like a smog, you know, it just kind of sat there. And you didn't get angry at anybody for smoking, you know. Except when they threw the cigarettes in the fish tank. Some visitors did that. I remember. I got mad at that. What if your dad gambles? A gambler, right? Gambling is his hobby. You know, oh, what a terrible thing. Terrible thing. You feel horrible about it because you lose the money, because then you don't have the money for school because daddy is gambling it and losing it, and mom reminds you of it. But speaking of mom, one of the reasons you get angry at your dad is the way he treats your mother. You know, you look at your dad and your mom, and sometimes dads are horrible with moms in one of two ways. They are either abusive of mom, they beat them, they yell at them, they scold them, they scream at them, they treat them with disregard and disrespect, or they're dish rags, and mom screams at them and yells at them and calls them names. Either way, you get angry at your father for being a dish rag or being a whip, you know? I guess it's a whip or a wimp. What does WIMP stand for? It must be an anagram. Somebody has to figure that out. W-I-M-P. Where did that word come from? Loyalty. Now, there's another thing. In certain cultures, fathers have loyalties to their own families that are higher than their loyalties to their children. There's a rule. I think it was a Japanese rule about loyalties, and it goes the following. Imagine you did a triangle, and at the triangle you said, what are your loyalties? Your first loyalty, draw a triangle. Let me show you this. Draw a triangle, right? A big one. Yeah, like that on a piece of paper. Just like that. I have people in the studio who do these things. We do it. Okay, who's your loyalty? Who are you most loyal to? At the very top of the triangle you put self. S-E-L-F. Right? Inside the triangle, second to that is mate, your mate. Underneath that is children. Underneath that is family. And underneath that is friends. Now, there's a reason for this, you see. Who do you owe it to? Who do you owe the most loyalty to? Yourself. Don't betray yourself. Second, you're loyal to your mate. Third, you don't betray your mate. You don't do it. You don't turn them in. You don't steal their money. Third one is your children. But notice in this order, you don't prefer your children to your mate. Your mate comes first. You're setting your priorities, and you never take your family over your children, according to this scale, and you never take your friends over your family or over your children. This is Armand DeMille with the Positive Mind. We'll be taking your calls a little later. I hope you're understanding this, because every one of you have a father out there, and I'm not saying forgive your dad. I'm saying understand yourself and your relationship to him. So loyalties, and when loyalties get confused, like dad's loyalties seem to be for his own family as opposed to his children. That happens in some cultures. Another thing that you get angry at your father about is his narcissism. Boy, you got a narcissistic father, right? And now everything you do is not about what you do, but how it makes him look. How are you making him look? What school did you get into? Yesterday we had a Nation of Wimps author on the program with us yesterday. If you didn't hear it yesterday, fabulous program, great interview. It'll be online at thepositivemind.com. You can go back and listen to it even now. So if your father's pride is you and how you make him look, well, then you're not you. See, you're him prime. You know, like in school, they had A and A prime and B prime. You know those little, with a little asterisk after it? You're his prime. You're his substitute. You're like an imitation him. So if you get fat, you shame him. If you get skinny, you shame him. if you don't get into the right school, you shame him, and that's what matters. And you never learn how to be on your own. You live for your father. How many of you are doing that even now? So he worries about how you look. You know, people who rebel against their fathers, they grow long hair and they put markings on their faces and they do, you know, tattoos are very often a sign of a rebellion saying, I don't want to be like you. Okay, other reasons to be mad at your father? Unkept promises. Fathers make promises. When you get older, I'll doobie-doobie-doobie, I'll give you a doobie-doobie, and they make up all kinds of things. For boys, it's always, you'll get a car when you're 18, or when you're 16, or when you're 18, or whenever it is. And these unkept promises, they hurt to the quick. Because, you know, you never think of what happens to a child when he's spending his whole life waiting for this promise to be kept. I'll take you fishing with me and the other guys when you get to a certain age. And dads don't keep their promises sometimes. And then worse than that, another reason why people get very angry at their dads is because dads outright lie to you. You see, there's something in nature that says, deceive your kid. I don't know what it is. Why do you want to deceive your son or your daughter? Why do you want to lie to them? So dad says, so your son says to you, well, why are you and mommy fighting? And you lie to him. Well, it wasn't a fight. You lie, and you lie to your children, and your children don't know reality from non-reality. And your poor mind starts to turn to mush because you can't tell what's real from what's not real. And then you find out your father, who was your hero all your life, lied to you all your life about so many different things. It's another reason why people get angry. Dads very often have very funny morality. You know, they do as I say, not as I do. That expression. So you look at your dad's immorality, his lack of ethics, his cheating people, taking money from people, stealing things, and then he criticizes you and says, don't do it. You look at him taking drugs and he tells you, don't smoke marijuana, stay away, and punishes you for all the things that he does. So the kind of, the double standards of fathers, it's very rough. It's very rough. It's another reason to be angry at dad. And it's very hard. Now, one of the worst things is when dad doesn't show up, period. Whenever you need him. You know, I mean, dad is supposed to be the protector. And when dad is not the protector, that's really tough. You go running to dad and you say, Daddy, this happened, and he blames you. He doesn't protect you. More pain. Lastly, I'll throw this one on. And then when we come back, we're going to take some calls at 212-209-2900. Maybe you have a reason, but they're going to be brief. We're going to take brief phone calls. We're doing a survey. And then we're going to turn it around at the end. I mean, this may sound depressing, but it's not. It's not. It's really reality. And reality is not depressing. Reality, it's only depressing when you suppress the reality. You know, suppressing reality is pushing it away from your own awareness, keeping it back. You've got a right to be angry. And being angry doesn't mean you have to be violent or anything like that. It just means you're mad because whoever it was that was bringing you up was a little lazy with you. So this is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. We're going to take a short break. I think I'll play you some nice music today, something you haven't heard in a very, very long while. And then we'll continue with this discussion and your phone calls as well. Be back with you in just a couple of seconds.
Beautiful.
Is duniya mein aaye ho to ek dooje se pyaar karo jeena kaisa pyaar mera is duniya mein
Look in the eyes of the face of love. Look in her eyes, for there is peace. No, nothing dies within your light. Only one hour of this pure love to last a life of 30 years.
Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, the late Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, with Eddie Vedder. From the album Dead Men Walking, and of course, from the best of Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan, wherever that is. Because it's one of his best, The Face of Love. I think of it because I think of it as maleness in a funny kind of way, and I think of it as thinking about Father's Day and what Father's Day is. Funny thing about maleness, you know, character. You think about hoping, wishing for the development of your own character and for the character of your father. Men of genius are admired. Men of wealth are envied. Men of power are feared. But only men of true character can be trusted. That was Arthur Friedman said that. What an interesting question. What is character? Character is what you do when no one's watching. Character is the essence of who we are. Character has six universal values that guide our choices. Six. These come from the Josephson Institute of Ethics. Trustworthiness, part of character. Think about that. You trustworthy? Are you? Respect. That's another part of character. Responsibility. Do you take responsibility? Part of character. Now, fairness. There's another good one. Caring. And citizenship. Citizenship is a part of character. Score that. Trustworthiness means others can trust you and give you great leeway because they feel you don't need monitoring to meet your obligations. You know what I mean? You hire somebody. Okay, do the job and just give me a bill at the end. Character. Respect means following the golden rule. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. It prohibits violence, humiliation, manipulation, exploitation, and reflects kind of a civility, courtesy, decency, dignity, tolerance, acceptance. Now, can you imagine, my friends, if you grew up with a dad like this? Whew. Responsibility means being accountable for what you do and for who you are. Accountable. It means being in charge of your choices and thus your life. It means recognizing that your actions matter and that you are morally on the hook for the consequences of whatever you do. Fairness. You know what fairness is. It means encouraging equality, impartiality, openness, and due process. It implies sticking to a balanced standard of justice without reference to your own feelings or inclinations. You know, it's just like you have a belief, and you go by that belief. I have such admiration for one person I know who has such a high moral standard, and that she is automatically somebody who gives generously wherever she can, whenever she feels that there's right or justice. And that she's not one of these people who just say, I got to save up every penny and keep it all to myself. But that leads us on to a later part. Caring is about our relationship with other people. It means contributing to ethical decision making. It's scarcely possible to be truly ethical and yet unconcerned with the welfare of others. You cannot be ethical and say, I don't care. It doesn't work. Now, I'm not saying you can't be of lesser character, but, you know, sometimes it really pays to have something to shoot for. And if I were fathering a child nowadays, I'd try to hold to these standards so strongly so that my child would somehow be encouraged to have these characters, these part of his character. Citizenship means expressing your civic duties and virtues. And these duties prescribe how you ought to behave as part of the community. You see, good character has some practical aspects as well. It means being involved in your kids' financial support, not because of a government agency has found you, but because you feel responsible and you want to take care of them. Not because the rules are that you have to do it, but because you want to. To be a good father when no one's looking, as you do so, your actions will be an example to your children. Remember, you're teaching them respect by doing for them what was not done for you. Even though you're not with their mother, which it is very possible, they will understand that you've taken responsibility for your choices and the outcome of your choices. So it's real possible, no matter who you are and no matter where you are, to develop a better role of father. Now, to all you men out there, being as I feel like an elder today with younger elders around, you know, that's how I feel about most men. I feel like most men, when I really enjoy their company, like I do the men's group that I run, it's like they're elders meeting together. And the elders are meeting together not to say, oh, this is how we're going to get the world to run. But they're asking questions about what's the right way to do things. What's the best way to do things? Elders. So I think when a man gets to a point where he's a boy, he has a right to be a boy, a child, a boy, an adolescent. But then you become an elder. And when you're an elder, you're setting a responsibility. And that's quite a thing to do. So our telephone number here is 212-209-2900. We're talking about a number of things today. Mainly we're talking about feelings towards Dad. Now, anger towards Dad, real clear. So now I'll ask you a question. And here's a question that you're not going to expect. One that I've asked before, but I've loved the responses, and these are going to have to be quick responses on a telephone. What is the best moment you could remember having with your father ever? Best moment. Think about that. Think about the best time you ever had with him. Was it walking down the street? Was it going to a movie? Was it playing a game of ball? Was it the best time? What's that? You and him. You and your dad. What is the best time you ever had with your father? A time that you can't forget. A time you can't put aside. We got about 15 minutes and we're going to take calls. 212-209-2900. Talk about anger towards your father. We could certainly do that easy enough. That everybody's ready to do, especially if you're a WBAI listener. Because a lot of people who listen to BAI are skeptical people and have real in touch with their angers. But what about this question? What's the best time you ever had with your dad? 212-209-2900. Michael, thank you. We're going to take a call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm very glad to hear you and listening to your program for many, many years. And
thank you. Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Jose from Manhattan. I'm from Mexico City, actually lived here for 20 years.
Jose, thank you.
Thank you. So just a few things. I wanted to call before because you played the concerto for Aranjuez.
Yes.
Remember, related to the father because I remember listening to the concert in Mexico City at the Palace of Fine Arts, and there was Joaquin Rodrigo, the composer. And I happen to know that he composed this as a martial death tune of a child that he had lost in a Christmas Eve. So he lost his child, and he made it a march, but slowed it down, and that's what it's a funeral march, but slowed down. That's what I mean by the concerto of Aranjuez.
You hear it now, don't you?
Yeah, I hear it, and it always made me weep, actually. Regarding the
let me stop for a moment.
Surely, yes.
How is your relationship with your father?
Oh, you had the four things: absolutely absent, very bad, no relationship. Oh, another thing: the letter to the father of Franz Kafka is an amazing letter to read that he wrote to his father. And
where would somebody find that letter?
It's Kafka. You have to look it up. I don't know. I read it when I was a teenager, actually.
Yeah. So what's the letter that you would write to your father?
Oh, the letter? He's passed.
What would the letter you would write, Jose?
I really don't... I don't think I would write. I do have a lot of misgivings and probably... if I went down hateful feelings, I don't know. He was completely absent, and he was kind of abusive and a little social alcoholic, and he lost a fortune and then cried over this over 10 years, smoking cigarettes, like you said, making the thick air unbreathable. Anywho, I just wanted to let you know about that.
Jose, nice making contact with you.
Oh, I'm very, very honored to listen to your wife program.
Okay, thank you so much for being with me.
Thank you. Good day.
We'll take another call. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
You know, earlier in the program you asked about those five characteristics of a father. And I have a funny situation because both my mother and my father are passed. My father passed about 15 years ago and my mother passed about 5 years ago. And I don't think about my mother that much. She had her problems. But my father, I constantly think of him belittling me and, you know, putting me down. And I want to share with you the five things, the characteristics, if you don't mind, of what I wrote down about my father.
Sure.
And I wrote down, one, he had a warped mind.
Mm-hmm.
Two, he was somewhat irrational. Three, he gave very bad advice. Four, he abused me psychologically by mocking and taunting me. And five, his values were twisted.
Yeah.
And I'm always thinking of him. I'm always thinking like he's almost like on my shoulder and criticizing me and saying, you shouldn't be doing that, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be. And I'm just wondering, how does one, you know, because I know that my mother was mentally ill, and I'm happy with that. Not happy, you know, ha-ha happy, but I understand that she was a very sick woman, and so it's kind of like, well, it's understandable the things that she put me through. But with my father, I'm now just beginning to understand how sick he was.
What's your name?
George.
George?
Yeah.
George, tell me the best moment you ever had with your father.
The best moment I ever had with my father, I would say, was probably when I was a little boy. He would take me to Manhattan, and we would watch the buildings that are now up on 6th Avenue when they were first going up in Midtown Manhattan, those big rectangular mm-hmm. box buildings. He used to like to watch the construction himself, and it was just a nice time.
A nice time, you and he alone.
Yes.
Just looking at the buildings. You see, it sounds to me like you were the victim of some kind of triangulation with your mother, your father, and
oh,
you.
I identified deeply when
yeah,
you said
sure.
that.
Sure, and you see, this is what the rule was. Early on in life, the family survives, and the way they survived, George, was they had you target one of the two parents as the mean guy, which he was, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then, of course, you said, okay, well, mommy needs me because mommy is weak and daddy's a bad guy, and you never got to the point where you understood it was a collusion.
You know, I always thought it was odd, when I was about 4 or 5 years old, I don't know where this came from, I once asked my mother, I was walking with her, and I said, if I were going to be hit by a car, would you throw yourself in the way to save me, even though you knew you would get hit by the car and could die? And she said, yes. And then I said to her, do you think Daddy would do that? And she said, no.
And do you think she would have done it for Daddy? Oh, there's your answer.
Oh, that's a good question.
Isn't that a good question? You know, the biggest gift anybody could give a child?
Love.
Is loving your other parent.
Mm.
Not loving you.
Mm.
Would your mom have thrown herself in the way of a speeding car to save her husband? And the answer clearly is no.
No.
Absolutely. And that's not fair.
You're brilliant.
Yeah, you are too. Listen, George, thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
212,
bye-bye.
Sure. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi there. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
I wanted to say that the most fun I ever had with my father is when I was little enough that he could pick me up by the ankles. And on the he was usually home very late. But when he would get home from work early enough that we'd still be awake, we'd get excited, and then to finally go to bed, he would pick me up in the living room, carry me down the long hallway by my ankles, and toss me into the bed.
And can you even feel it now as you talk about it?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You miss him, don't you?
I don't know if I guess he's still alive, but
you miss him?
I miss being little like that.
You miss the fun, Dad, and you miss being little like that, yes.
Yeah.
I understand. I understand. Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yes. Hi. I'm turning my radio off. I was just listening, and I grew up in Jamaica, the West Indies, and I was just reflecting on what you said about that, and I seem to have some fond memories of, you know, as a teenager, I kind of rebelled a little, but one thing I remembered with my dad, and this was like, what, 6 years old, we were traveling. No, we weren't traveling. He used to ride a bicycle.
Oh, great.
And I wanted to go with him. He wanted to go visit a neighbor, and I wanted to go with him. So he said, all right, ride your tricycle. I wasn't old enough to ride a bike, but I had a tricycle. And I was riding behind. He was riding his bike, and I was riding my tricycle.
Ma, you must have been pumping up a storm as a kid.
I'm telling you.
You and my must mom have been going like crazy.
I was, and my mom and my neighbors, they were laughing. They were so tickled.
And your
by
father
it.
Had slowed down his pace so that you could feel like you were right up there with him.
Yeah.
Now, when else did your father ever slow down his pace so you could feel like you were side by side with him? Because it sounds like you grew up with a man who was just a little too fast for you always.
No, I don't think so. My father was a very gentle man.
Gentle.
You know, gentle. With us as children and my mom. And I remember, well, he had a child, you know, I guess he was going through midlife crisis, and my mom found out that he had another kid, and they went through a lot of, you know, marital problems, and it almost ended in divorce. But that was the roughest time I remember.
Yeah.
But
did he have more than one family?
No. He just had a child. And this happened later on in his life. And, you know, my mom figured, you know, it's probably mid. No, she forgave him.
Let's keep that memory going. Hey, have you ever painted or sketched anything?
Yes.
You like to do that, don't you?
I do, yeah.
Yeah. You ever
How do you talk? How can you talk?
Yeah, I can tell by the way you're talking.
Oh, really? Okay.
Have you ever painted or sketched the bicycle with the tricycle behind it?
You know, I never did.
Be a nice idea. I think it'll bring something to your heart.
It'll
be a permanent memory, and I'm sure you could represent it in such a way that I would love to see it. I mean, take a picture of it and send it to me in email, would you?
I'll do that.
What's your name, by the way?
David,
I look forward to it.
All right, man. Thanks. Take care.
Right. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take one more call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello?
Hello.
Is this BAI?
Yes, it is BAI, and it's Armand DeMille. We got about 2 minutes. Hi.
Oh, great. Okay.
You're nervous
yes.
about being
on
the air.
My father was wonderful. I happened to have him live with me when he was old. He took care of my children. I just can't live up to what he wanted for me. He felt the world should be changed. A lot of people, and you were saying some things that were negative about fathers, but I can only think of good things about my father. So he took care of my children while I worked, me and my husband, for I guess about 15 years.
Wow.
He was like Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah, I hear.
And a wonderful memory, because I tell you, I have so many, we would go to Wave Hill when I would finish teaching, because I teach in college. And one day, he let my children do everything. My daughter was peering into the pond at Wave Hill, and she was looking at the goldfish, and she fell in. And it wasn't deep, and now she's 18. And my children just have these wonderful memories. He was a hard worker.
I'm glad to hear.
He wanted to change the world, and that's what I try to do in his memory.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, you're welcome.
Right. This is Armand DeMille. So, you know, there's two sides to everything. There's the good side and the bad side. And it's okay. It's okay to be angry and to still love. I'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m. Send me an email. ThePositiveMind.com, Armand@ThePositiveMind.com, or you can re-listen to this program if you want at the same location. Bye-bye for now, my friends.
look in the eyes of the face of love, look in her eyes, for there is peace, no, nothing dies within pure light, only one hour of this pure love to last a